Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? How y'all doing? This is Wardell in Phoenix here for Soul Eye Records Radio, and this is truly it here on Soul Eye Records Radio. We want to make sure we give a big shout out to all the listeners. Greg, what's up, my brother? Thank you so much. And Phoenix, what's up, man?
Hey, man. Everything is copacetic.
I always love that word. Copacetic. It sounds so good. It sounds like, what's the meaning of copacetic?
To me, it's just a nice warm blanket that encompasses and covers a wide range of emotions and feelings. That means things are centered, balanced.
And that's exactly what the word sounds like. It sounds just like that. It's centered.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Anyway, man. So how you been? You been good?
Yeah.
It's been a week. It's been a week.
Very good. Very productive. Very productive. Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yes. Awesome. Thanks for, you know, hanging out last week, Tuesday and Thursday. And here we are again, another week, another blessing. And it's so important that we recognize what a blessing it is to make it to another week, another day, another minute, another moment. And to, you know, the possibility of having another friend in your life, somebody special or just somebody full of wisdom, somebody that can help you along if you're struggling with anything, or maybe somebody that you can help along and be a blessing to. It's, life has so many things to offer, and it really depends on us, right? How we look at life and how things are. So with that being said, we're going to just jump into our topic based off of that. And so Phoenix, you are leading the show today. What's up, man? Talk to us about being better as opposed to being bitter.
Yeah, I mean, I took the time to really look at it because at first it seemed ambiguous and it seemed broad and without definite focus. But upon researching, I think it's something that we all come across. The first thing that stood out to me was the first step is that we become angry. We've all been angry at something. But then it goes on to say anger then turns to bitterness. That's a byproduct of anger. And so we have to sometimes, you know, we live in a world today where things are being thrown at us. We said many times in previous shows, we're overstimulated. I mean, even when we're not trying to hear information, we're bombarded. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on IG. Friends, people are bringing up certain things. We're watching our favorite show. It gets preempted by the call of the day. And sometimes, depending upon how it affects us, it can make us angry. Mm. And it could be something totally unrelated. It can be about a child that was got involved in something, and maybe the powers that be or those men in authority augmented the situation in a certain way. Next minute, you know, man, we're angry, full blown. Mm-hmm. And God forbid if one of our friends disagree. You know, so yes, it's a subject that I think is worth talking about. It's interesting to know the progression of thought that anger can lead to bitterness. But the first bullet point that I came across was to admit that you feel bitter. That's perhaps one of the most difficult roads to enter when it's personal, because we are quick to what? Justify. Man, I'm not bitter. Don't tell me I'm bitter. Here you are. So you have to personally admit that. You know, and that takes some soul searching, right?
Absolutely. Oh, that sounds like a conversation I had today. Whoa. I want to let you keep going unless you want me to respond to what you said.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because it says you have to admit that you feel bitter in order to leave it behind. So in the progression of thought, in being able to scale back and say, okay, I was angry, now I'm bitter, and I need to own that, because if I can't face it, if I justify it, it's only going, the lines are going to get blurred. So the first thought of the matter is to admit it, face it, and then decide, using your own mental powers, I'm going to put this behind me. That's a very positive step. Of course, easier said than done. Many of us, you know, we, as mentioned in the offset, we lead very complex lives. And so it's easy to get off track. It's easy to get into full-blown bitterness. And then what happens? It affects almost everything that you do from the moment you wake up and perhaps to your restless nights of sleeping. You don't get proper sleep, which ages you. It can cause mental and physical duress. Not proper sleep, because you're bitter. And once you get that bitterness, it's like cancer, dude. It takes over. It's like spilled milk, man. It's going to go into every crevice until it consumes you. So let's trust it.
So the bottom line to my brothers and sisters who we love is we have to first decide to admit that we have a problem. If we have a problem, right? We have to decide, and so we have to do our due diligence and research, what's happening.
And I'm glad you said that. I mean, I just wanted to segue because you touched the bullet point that goes into the next is to acknowledge, because you can admit, but then you may not know which way the wind is blowing. I don't know who hurt me. The next bullet point says to acknowledge who hurt you and that you hold on to the hurt. See, so you have now, after you admit it, you have to acknowledge and direct it to the specific area. If it's a person, who is this individual that hurt you? You have to be able to look at it. You know, ask yourself why you won't let it go. Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to back up just a tad because you said something earlier. I want to respond to it, admitting that you have that issue. Now, I talked to a friend of mine who I believe is bitter, but he doesn't believe he's bitter. And,
he doesn't acknowledge it.
Yeah. He's just like, I'm not bitter. I mean, I talked to him about it today. He's like, no, I'm not bitter. His feathers got all, ruffled. And I was like, dude, why are you so angry? I just said, it's just an observation. You know how much, and I hugged him. I just put my arm around him. And I just, I was just like, I love you, man. I said, you know, I'm only saying this because it's just an observation from me to you. And you and I are buddies. But it seems that you are bitter about the NFL. And, when the guys were putting their knees down. And so I remember there was so much joy. You were so happy about hurrying up and getting home to watch the game and how much fun you would have with your friends and talking about it and having people come over to your house and just, just having a good time, fellowshipping with your brothers and, just loving on each other and watching the game. And just, I could see all the joy. And ever since you decided that you weren't feeling these people anymore because you disagreed with them not, saluting the flag, you became very dark. And then you said, I'm not watching that. I'm not helping them. They are making too much money for them not to be, showing how grateful they are. And I listened to you but it's like every time I listen to you, I could hear that it hasn't gotten any better. It's only getting worse for you. You're so angry. I am
well,
not
Well, you know,
bitter.
That's interesting because it gets into being exploratory as to what being bitter brings to the table for you. Sometimes we don't quantify or qualify how something affects us. We can just blatantly say, I'm mad, or I'm disenchanted, or I'm angry at this particular situation. But do we explore what this bitterness brings to the table? Is it productive? Is it helping us? Does it help us with our family, with the rearing of our children? Maybe when we have alone time, I know my latest thing is to walk the pooch at night. That's my downtime. So I take it out on him and yank the chain. Come on, how we up? it doesn't permeate in all things that you do. So I thought it was very wise that it's to explore what has this bitterness done for you? What is the upside? You know, does it make you a better person? Does it make you more competitive? Does it make you say, you know what? Like our topic says, I'm going to try to do better next time. I'm going to get past this bitterness and do better. I'm going to be competitive with myself. Here's the, this has exposed the loophole in me that I don't like. I've seen a side. I've known in these past 6 months, brother, I've seen some sides in me that I don't particularly like. I didn't know I could get like that. I didn't know. I got that old man syndrome. You know, I could become, as I've said to many people, a bitter old man. I could want to stay by myself, lock myself up in the closet, and just work on music all day. So what does this, exploring this tendency or this feeling or this quality that has usurped out of you, what does it bring? And has it made you a better person? Because as the expression has gone, it takes a lot of pressure to make a diamond. So there can be an upside. But if it's no upside, which brings us to the next point, let it go. There's no benefit. If there's no benefit, you know, as they said, we all subscribe to the same radio show, right? WIFM. What's in it for me? There's nothing in it for me. There's no benefit. It's not helping my family. It's not putting food on the table. It's not making me a better person. Let it go.
Well, what I noticed in my friend also was is that he was caught up in making sure he denied the word bitter. So it was,
yeah.
You know, it had nothing to do with any, I mean, he just was like, no, I'm just angry or I could be mad, but I'm not bitter. It was just bitter. That word bitter, he did not want to be that word bitter.
But he didn't, as we mentioned, he didn't acknowledge it. That's what the
that's because he won't acknowledge
was.
It. Right. I think that when someone's talking to you, especially if you know they love you, and like he knows I love him. And when we're talking man to man, 64 to 64, look, I'm looking at you, you looking at me, and I'm telling you, I care, you know I care about you, but something's not quite right. The most important part for you is to pay attention. You need to, somebody that if they care about you, you know they don't, they're not judging, they don't judge you. Don't take it as like somebody's trying to hurt you. Open the windows. Open the eyes to your heart.
What did Jermaine Jackson? Hey, bro. What did Jermaine Jackson say in his hit record? Don't take it personal. Take the bitter with the sweet.
Yeah.
Don't take it.
Yeah.
Remember that song? You
right,
know, don't
right.
take it personal.
Yeah, because when people are they, that's exactly what it was. He was taking it personal, and I was trying to say, no, that's not what it is. This is my observation. I'm not trying to put
but
you,
see, you
down.
You touched on something that is credible and valid, and it's something I've certainly been guilty of. You said, I'm 64, he's 64, and I'm talking to him straight up man to man. But what delineates that? Yes, he knows you love him, but in the back of his mind, covered by his brow, his man, don't tell me what to do. You ain't right. You ain't my daddy. Don't tell me what to do. We're men folk now. Now, you know, there's two roosters in the chicken coop.
Well, because a lot of
that
people,
ego is,
a lot of people don't want you
over.
To tell a lot. I mean, I don't, just most people don't want you to tell them how they feel. They don't want you to tell them how they feel. They know how
Absolutely.
They feel. Right. And so they don't want
well, they
you to tell them that. And yeah. And so,
but
the best thing for anyone to do is to be more objective. When someone's telling you something, really listen. Listen to the words that are coming out of their mouth. And you, if you really pay attention to what they're saying, maybe you will give yourself a chance to recognize the reality that you're really in. But if you don't give the words a chance to penetrate your defenses, you may not recognize the position that you're in. And when someone does that, they're trying to protect you from that position. It may be a bad position, and the enemy can attack you if you are not protected properly. So when I'm telling that to my friend, I'm saying that because I don't want you to be bitter, because that could destroy you from within. And so I'm just, and so that's what friends do, right? And my friend still,
I get it.
Point,
I get it. I mean, and you have to respect the jury of your peers. You know, there's a biblical expression that says bad association spoils useful habits. And the inverse applies. Out of a multitude of counselors, wisdom breaks forth. These are words, infinite words from above. These are very superlative expressions that help underscore the power of being in good association. And, you know, you constantly underscore the thought of paying attention. That's been a commonality in most of your discussions. And I get it, because, yes, if you are open-minded and you recognize to whence it comes from, you're willing, ready, and able to receive. We're all receivers and transmitters. So you can transmit energy all day long. And there's some people, man, they will help the world. They will transmit positive energies all day long, but they're not good receivers. They're not going to receive positive information. They're not going to receive positive input, or what we might say constructive criticism. No, they can't receive it. Suddenly, you know, their speaker, their microphone to reception is turned off. They can give you advice, but they can't take it. They can dish it, but they can't take it. And so that's a character flaw, and it's easier said than done to overcome such a friend that doesn't want to accept helpful words of healing. And so sometimes you got to be a little more tactful. You can't be as forceful. You have to take them into full consideration. And sometimes you got to spoon feed them a little bit. You know, you love your child, but you got to say, okay, open your mouth, Johnny. Here's a big surprise. Vroom, vroom. And the kid's like, no. You go, you make the helicopter. And then the kid starts laughing and boom, pops it in the mouth. So you just can't stuff it down the child's throat. And in effect, sometimes, even with friends, you know, they will reduce you to the scenario of an adult and a child. And you have to spoon feed them, but you have to do it in a way that you assign them honor and dignity. They cannot feel that you are condescending, especially men folks. We're the worst. I know yours truly. We are the worst. When we don't want to go to a doctor. We don't want the doctor to tell us we got a cold. I know what I got. It's just an allergy. It's just these winds. No, you got a cold. That's what the doctor said. So we're the worst. Women, so, I think, sometimes a little more receptive when they get amongst their girlfriends. And, you know, they sit around, girl talk, and they have a drink. And, you know, I watch women all the time. You know, they do stuff that we just don't do. First of all, they walk up to each other. They embrace each other. They hug each other. I know I'm not a big hugger with men. I'll hug a woman all day long. But I got to really know you as men folk to come and hug me. I'm just like, wait a minute. So more info.
Well, my response to that is I hug everyone equally.
Yeah, you're unusual with that. We already know. You're a lovable, huggable guy.
The only one that I hug differently is my wife. But everyone else is equal. So, and my mom. My embrace my mom is different, because when I hug her,
that's a good quality,
like,
brother. That's a very good quality, but not typical. You do know that's not typical today.
Okay, all right. Always, this is just from the listeners. Always ask yourself, what are the benefits of being bitter about something? What are the benefits about bitter?
Well, that's what I was saying. Remember, and acknowledging the hurt. I said, we have to explore what being bitter gives you. That's 100% accurate. You know, what is the benefit? Absolutely. I concur completely.
What is the benefit of being bitter about something? Realizing there is none is the first stage of healing. There's no benefit in being bitter. Unless you enjoy being in the mud and rolling around the mud, because that's the only benefit.
Unless you turn the lemonade and say, okay, I'm bitter, I can do better, which is the thrust of our discussion today, and then you turn it around. Now that bitterness and the identification, and as we said in the second bullet point, the acknowledgement, and then you let it go. And then you know, as we'll get into the fourth, which is to forgive, it can be beneficial. You know, we all are imperfect. Let's just get to that. You know, don't put it on you that you're perfect. Everyone is imperfect. We all make mistakes. We all fall. But the thing is to identify that you've fallen, to identify this infraction within you, and then use that as a benefit. Use the bitterness as the benefit to heal yourself, which comes under acknowledging it. And that's the whole progressive thought process. So yes, in a sense, it can be positive if you acknowledge it, if you let it go. And then as we move into the fourth point, you're ready to now forgive, which is, you know, there's a lot of people say, well, I can forgive, but I won't forget. Or, you know, or a combination thereof. That's a process.
First of all, that's okay if that's what you want to do, but what you're basically saying out loud is that I'm going into this forgiveness with conditions. And that is very wrong. You know,
I'm not promoting forgiving and forgetting. I'm just saying that is
I'm talking about those people that say that. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about those people that say, "Oh yeah, I'll forgive, but I'm not going to forget." I mean, nobody. I mean, we're talking about just forgiveness, and for some reason, you have to say that you're bringing conditions to your forgiveness is wrong. That's wrong in itself. You can feel that way. Keep that to yourself if that's what you – because you have to work through that yourself. No one else needs to know that. All of that is yours. That's all yours to carry.
And I thought it was interesting to figure it out.
But sharing it, not going to forget. That's like a punishment.
It says they may not even deserve your forgiveness. I thought that was interesting. They may not even deserve it. And you may not know how to go about it. And it says that's okay. It cautions us to take our time.
That's true. Work on forgiveness,
to work on it, and to lower our stress and anxiety. These things will strengthen even our immune system, increase our self-esteem. It will lower our blood pressure, talking about
benefits. Let me tell you why that
benefits.
Is. Let me tell you why all that is. It's because forgiveness is not for the other person. It's for you. Because you can forgive someone, and they may turn around and do it again and again, or do it to somebody else.
Are you reading my notes?
So the end of it is not for anyone else but yourself. And so that's why all those benefits are there.
Yeah, the note, that's why I said, are you reading my notes? The last phrase says, forgiving them benefits you. So do this notice for yourself. Are you reading my notes?
Yeah, I mean, it's important that people realize that, because it's like a lot of times you think that when you're forgiving someone, you let them off the line and out the hook, but it's not really about them being on the line. It's about you, because they're not. Some of these people that hurt you don't even care. They're going to keep doing what they do, and you can't worry about them. You got to worry about you. And if you get caught up in something that someone did to you, and you're giving them power over you. Don't let people have power over you. You have to just say, okay, that's good. I'll forgive them and move on, because life was going to bring all kind of different storms, and you have to know how to get through the storm to the other side of it, and you have to trust your faith to help you to get through this. But you have to be strong enough mentally to know that you need to get through it. It is a situation that's in front of you, and it's there. You have to pay attention and recognize what you're dealing with so you can deal with it properly. You know, another thing from the listeners that says, always ask yourself, what are the benefits of being bitter about something? What are the benefits of being bitter about something? Realize there is none.
Well, we covered that. I think you repeated that. We covered that. That's it has no benefit in the most part. Yeah, we covered that.
Oh, did I read that already? Okay.
Yeah,
right.
You repeated.
Well, anyway,
repeated it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, or either I don't know if I read it.
The fifth benefit says simply to change your expectations. I thought that was key. To change your expectations. It says that bitterness robs you of hope and excitement for the future. So you have to change the way you view it. Now you've identified it. You recognize, you've acknowledged it. You felt you let it go. You've even forgiven, because you realize the benefit is not for the individual. It's for yourself. So when you start to change your expectations, I find sometimes in speaking to friends and doing some sort of intervention, people come in with these preconceived notions. Well, I always do this, and I've done this. Well, maybe that person doesn't look at things like you, like in your sense. You're a loving person. There's a lot of men that are just not loving, dude. I'm sorry. And these are Christians. These are Buddhists. These are people that really believe that they are attached just as strongly as you believe in your faith. But, man, they're not loving. You ain't going to even get a handshake or a high five. So, that's a quality that you possess in superabundance, but it's not the atypical amongst men. So if we learn to change these expectations and not allow them to rob us of the excitement in a future sense, you know, try to believe that, you know, what you're experiencing something good again, and that you have the power to make a positive change, is something that's proactive, productive, as opposed to something that is prohibitive. So change your expectation, I thought, was duly noted in the progression of thought that counterattacks bitterness. What's your thoughts on that?
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I have some notes that I would like to, that at lunch I was sitting down trying to figure out how to approach this topic, and I actually was talking to a psychologist, not my wife, but another psychologist, and that I just met, and I told him the topic of the show, and so we were just talking, so I made some notes, and this is something that I thought was great. It says, life is difficult, often unfair, and always uncertain. Yet life can bring great reward. When we come to the understanding that, when we learn to accept that, when we come to understand that we learn to accept that, is when we will truly be ready to live in a worthwhile manner, to move forward. You know, so basically, if you want to live in a worthwhile manner to move forward in your life, you have to come to accept all of the uncomfortable things that's going to happen to you, all of what the nature of life is. It's ups and it's down. And so when you recognize that and you are okay with this is what life is, then you'll be ready to move forward and be a blessing in the storm. But if you're like, every time you get something happens to you that's negative And you get angry and mad and pissed off. And eventually, if you don't get past that, you'll become bitter. Then that's a problem. So once you are in acceptance of what life offers, then you could move forward and be ready to be a blessing to the people that are around you, instead of being this guy that everyone keeps saying, are you okay? Or this girl, are you, something's wrong with her. Because something is, if you're carrying this bitterness, you know, no matter how beautiful you are, if you're bitter, it can make you appear to be ugly, even if you're not, even if you don't have an ugly heart. So you have to be careful with this bitterness that can just grab a hold of you and pull you down and make you not appear to be who you are. And then you're wondering, why people don't want to be around me? Because you're bitter. You're uncomfortable.
No, nobody likes a complaint. Nobody likes a complaintive spirit, not even our Heavenly Father. And I always go back to, you know, as a spiritual man, you know, and I don't self-inflict that on others, but... And my personal understanding is understanding the fruitages of the Spirit, mildness, long-suffering, self-control. You know, to me, the Creator is the greatest psychologist, is the greatest form of wisdom if we read between the lines and understand what He means to even suffer long. It goes on to say that to know that you are bigger than the bitterness. If you find yourself drowning in self-hatred, self-blame, or thinking, I thought was interesting, that you don't deserve happiness. How many times have you counseled friends and they say, you know, I just don't deserve to be happy. I'm just a failure. And they beat up on themselves. They make it bigger than it really is. It said, make one thing clear. You deserve the absolute best in life. Without a doubt, you are not destined to be bitter. You have the ability to rise above this. So, you know, become the better person, become the bigger person, like we're saying, try to be better. And, you know, you may reach for the stars and you may not get to the stars, but at least you're off the ground. So it requires effort, you know, in order to elevate yourself from a bitter situation, you have to put forth the effort. It just doesn't happen by itself. You know, but self-pity, self-denial, self-hatred, self-blame, and to me, the quintessential of them all is, I don't deserve to be happy. I've heard myself say that once, you know, in fallen relationships. You know, after a while, you go through relationship 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it's the same reoccurring theme. You say, well, maybe I'm not supposed to be happy. Don't go there, because... it's counterproductive, and it doesn't allow you to rise above the occasion.
It sounds like the same person that when I invite someone to church and I say, hey, why don't you come over to the church and hang out, and, you know, you know, just come, you know, because I'm looking at them and they just kind of miserable. And I said, why don't you come over to the church? You get, there's a lot of great people over there. You can have a lot of fun. We always have all kind of events and stuff. And one person's response was, when I get myself together, I'll come. And I don't think, and that's the whole purpose of coming, is to help you to get yourself together. But that's not the problem. The problem with that statement is that they never feel like they're good enough. And if we keep feeling like we're not good enough, like we don't deserve certain things to be happy, like you just said, something maybe that's just meant for me to be miserable all the time, then you'll always be that way, because you can't see yourself in a better light. You have to know that you are deserving of a wonderful life. You're deserving of, you know, of being happy. And people can make you miserable. People can hurt you. People can make you mad. And those things are okay. But don't allow yourself to slip down into bitterness, because the bitterness will destroy you from the inside out. And that's why we're having this show about be better.
Try
and not
to
bitter.
Be better and not bitter.
Yeah.
Right.
So
you
got to
be patient. You have to exercise patience. You know, you have to be kind to yourself. You know, my dad used to use this expression, and I've adapted it in my world since his passing, that I love my father's son. That's me. I love my father's son. He's a great guy. I'm kind to my father's son. That's me. You know, I am the inheritance of the blessings of my parents' love and the grand instructor's creation. I am a work of art, although in progress, and I have a lot of imperfections. But to be kind to yourself, be patient, and watch this work itself out. As long as you put yourself in a position to receive the blessings. You know, we talk about blessings and we touch upon spiritual things all the time, but, you know, even in a demonstrative sense, you know, I know when I was a kid, I said, you don't kick a gift horse in the face. You know, if you're not eating and your neighbor knocks on your door and brings you groceries, you don't cuss your neighbor out and say, get away from my door. Who the heck are you? I didn't ask for your help. Hey, kindly come in. What did you get? Oh, my goodness. Let's make a sandwich. You going to stay for dinner? You see the difference in the approach. Be kind. Be kind. Rewind.
This just came in. Bitterness only turns a blue sky black and holds you in a bondage, destroying your peace. You know, I mean, people recognize that period. People recognize that, and it's important that you recognize that. And it's important, like, see, my approach now, and I have to go back to my friend again and maybe preface our conversation with, make sure your mind is open to what I'm about to tell you. You know, like, please, I want you to open your, and I think that even that right there will make him go into a defense mode. And so it's hard to get the people that are, you know, are bitter. And so if you are a bitter person, you're blocking your blessings. Because people, if someone's trying to talk to you, or if an opportunity is trying to come to you, but you're so caught up in bitterness, people can see that from a distance and they don't want to associate with that. And yet
you become unapproachable.
Yeah, you exactly. Don't allow that to get in the way of your blessings. Don't let bitterness get in the way of your blessings.
And I think, you know, just for legality's sake, you know, these are just opinions or ideas moderated by today's willful thinking. But if you really, 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 really have a problem, get help if you need it. You know, none of these things that have been suggested are easy. This is not a Band-Aid. This is not a cure-all, one-size-fits-all. Okay, you may need extra support. You know, nobody knows, you know, my dad said this, you know, you never know a man unless you walk a mile in his shoes. You may be talking to your best friend, but there might be certain things hidden in his skeletal closet that he's never shared with anybody. And this is the very thing that triggered it. So this person may need professional help. And we never, ever want to lead the listeners into thinking that if you really need professional help, get it.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if people think that you go to counselor, something's wrong with you. No, something's right with you because you want to make sure that you're okay. You're doing the right thing. It's like going to the doctor.
Sometimes you need that.
Because you go to the doctor, does that mean something's wrong with you? No, you're going to get a checkup. You want to make sure you're okay. And so it's the same thing with our mindset. We need to get a mind checkup. We need to make sure everything's
Recently, we had a tremendous, colossal catastrophe with a young person that took the lives of many young people, including the teachers. And one of the things when I sifted through the roughage of the discussions and conversations was that this guy had demonstrated prior to all of this, he had a problem. Now, how come it wasn't addressed? You know, if someone really needs professional help, you know, let's be lucid. Let's be willing. Let's be observant to see that maybe it's bigger than the both of you. Maybe you may have to go to someone who could apply a professional approach
that perhaps you may not be privy to. Maybe this person has something in their backdrop that is unearthed, and somehow this has ignited the flames. And now it's an all-out raging fire that can't be contained by a conversation. But I just thought I would mention that because we're living in a time, an era where this is becoming all too common. And we can blame it on the gun laws and we can blame it on legislation. But maybe you were the next door neighbor that you saw this. Maybe you were the church leader. Maybe you were the teacher. Maybe you were a friend of the family, a parent, an associate. And you let it slip through your fingertips. You got to come forward before it becomes a colossal problem. If you see this person really is angry and bitter. This young gentleman was definitely bitter. And it went unsatisfied until he took matters into his own hands.
Well, people are telling you stuff whether they tell you or not. They are speaking to you whether they're talking to you or not. You just have to pay attention. They are speaking loud. He was speaking loud. And no one paid any attention.
But it wasn't addressed. That's the issue. Yeah, it wasn't addressed.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I listened to the rhetoric and the editorialism that came about, that's what I took away. I said, you know, we all been around somebody that's just caustic. But, you know, if we chose to be a participant and try to diffuse them, and you took a proactive role, and then you reach a brick wall, you need at that point to go to the professionals and say, I noticed this about this individual, and I'm not being a tattletale or a snitch, but this person has some deep-seated issues, and it might be racial bias. It might be, you know, a lot of people, man, I remember I had this incident with my son. He loved the New England Patriots, and they won many Super Bowl rings, but this particular game they lost, he lost his mind. He was really upset, and it upset me because I was like, man, you didn't buy the beer and the chicken and everything that it took to make the Super Bowl party. But I had to talk him off the ledge. So, yes, sports figures, musical icons can be a trigger for some deep-seated bitterness that if it goes unchecked, you know, if the person is overly competitive to the point where they shut down and they just don't want to hear a thing you have to say, and they're just going to wallow in bitterness, maybe it's out of your hands. Maybe you need to go to someone. I saw that in my brother, who is an attorney. And when I saw him, that he was really striking out and he was hanging out in the middle of the day. He's a renowned attorney now. But he went out drinking binges at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. He was cussing and fussing and swearing and picking fights in some areas of New York City that you don't want to do that, like the boogie down Bronx or something. He was really showing out. You know what I did, brother? I went to my dad. And my brother didn't appreciate it at first. But my dad was an educator. And I said, Dad, you know, Pops, I went to my brother and I'm noticing that he's really acting irate. And he said, what? I said, yeah, he's drinking in the middle of the day to the point of drunkenness. He's smoking. He's doing all kinds of things. And my dad was very, he didn't appreciate it, my brother. He said, why did you tell Pop? I said, because I couldn't handle you no more. That's your father. And I felt that he had the right to know. But there's a problem. And my dad straightened him out. Hey, he went on to college. He graduated from Temple University. So the aftermath of the storm, it looks like he worked it out. So don't be afraid. You know, don't put these hindrances and say, oh, I'm being a tattletale and that's my friend and they shared this personal feeling with me and, you know, I don't want to betray that loyalty. If they cross the line, if they really show that their bitterness is so cancerous that there is nothing you can say to break that wall, you may have to go to the next, or maybe it's not a professional at first. Maybe it's a close family member. Maybe it's the father, if he's alive, or the mother, or a well-poised aunt. You know, we all have great aunts. I know I've always had some aunts. They were some doozies. But man, when you went to them, they straightened you out. The women, even in the Bible, they say they're a powerful force. They're very mighty, because a woman's going to approach a situation differently than a man. A man might just get out there with his feelings, but a woman, if she's raised children, you're not telling a woman who's really gone through the gamut of emotions much when they've raised adult children. And even if they didn't do well in the beginning, they have enough within them. I think the Bible calls them Anna types. You know, Anna was a very prominent woman. She was a pillar in the Christian congregation, Anna. There are Annas all around us. Use them. And you know what? They would love to step in and be of an assistance. And sometimes they're a lot more poised. Many times they are. They're more poised than we are. They are more discerning. They're willing to sit down and have tea and crumpets and, hey, let's talk about this, Johnny boy. What's going on with you? I heard such and such and so forth. And because of their gray-hairedness, which they wear as a crown, they have the ability to dissipate the undissipated. I've seen it at work. You know, women are a strong army. Use them if necessary. And that's just a shout out to my brothers, because sometimes we feel we shoulder the weight of the world and we have to have the answer or the solution to every problem. They don't. They don't. It takes a village. And sometimes it's our older sisters, it's our mothers, our aunts, the pillars in our community that would love the opportunity, just the fact that you've anointed them with that responsibility to come forth and use their wisdom in a proper way. So never feel, my young brothers and older brothers, that you hold the weight of the world. It's a shared responsibility. This is my little 2 cents.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, man. And we are now about to run out of time. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing? You may have already
just
done
in general, you know, some of the things that we've outlined, it, admit it, acknowledge it, let it go, forgive, change your expectations, and rise above the occasion and be bigger than your bitterness. But above all else, if you can't handle it, if it's too much, get and seek professional help, like you mentioned. There's nothing wrong with that. In certain cultures, it's looked down upon. Oh, man, you went to a shrink. Don't let them dissuade you. They're there for a reason. You know, they're there to resolve an issue. So if you can handle it and it goes above and beyond your ability to dissipate the anger and the bitterness, seek professional help.
All right. Amen to that. Well, guys, thanks, my brother Phoenix. And we're going to keep on going now with the second half of the show. And we always appreciate you, Phoenix. Thank you for sharing and talking to my brothers and sisters that may be going through a lot. You know, I pray that you are, you know, that something that was said today that would help you. I know it was a lot to take in, but hopefully there was something that will help you along the way, and or that you can help someone with that you may know that may be going through something very difficult like that. And like I said, I'm struggling myself with a friend that's bitter, and I'm trying to get him to recognize it. And he's not accepting of it. And so I have to be patient, like Phoenix said, and kind of just like, you know, work it and work it until I could get him to until he's better. I mean, because his bitterness may fade away if he allows it to fade away. But at this point, I can see he's still bitter. And so I just want him to at least acknowledge it, know that that's there, and maybe he could, you know, he can do better. Once you know better,
yeah,
you should.
And to take an honest look, you know, what has bitterness got you? I've been disappointed. I've used that word so many times, but I believe in love. I believe in love, that love is magic. It's magical. I'm a diehard romantic.
I love to love. And that propels me, whether it's in my music or it's in conversations, this wonderful platform that we have. Sometimes the best way to heal yourself is to help others. Because, as you mentioned, through the process, you see yourself. And a lot of times, wisdom comes from experience. Experience is the best teacher.
There you go.
It is.
All right, guys, and we're up and out of here. Speaking about love, Lenny Williams. We'll
okay,
be
man.
Back.
All right. Girl, you
enjoy.
Know I love you. No matter what you do. And I hope you understand me. Every word I say is true. Cause I love you. I'm thinking of you, trying to be more of a man for you. And I don't have much of a chance, but we gonna see it through. Cause I love you. Oh, oh. Things got so bad until I had to go to one of my friends and talk to him. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm having problems with the woman that I love. It seems that I call her on the phone and I just can't get her to answer. And then I went to her house and I saw a car parked in the driveway. I knocked on the door, but still my knocks went unanswered. And then I went home and I watched television until television went off. And then I played my records until I just didn't want to hear them anymore. And finally I went to bed, but I found myself waking up a few hours later. And the tears were running down my face. And my friend told me, he said, Lenny, you just ought to forget about her. But I told my friend, I said, you know, maybe you've never been in love like I've been in love. And maybe you've never felt the things that I felt. But this is what I told my friend, I said, you know, sometimes you get lonely, you get lonely, you get lonely. Uh-oh, 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 uh-oh.
love that Motel. My. And I can't wait until this Saturday, because this Saturday is going to be a Motown Saturday. So, guys, work out with us this Saturday. We're going to have Motown doing their thing in the background. We're going to have a good time, and no telling who may show up for the Motown thing. So, hey, come on. Hang out with us. 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Wardell Pipes Jr. and Don Fleming. What's up, Mr. Fleming?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, man, I feel much better now that you're here.
Everything hey, good? Man, I appreciate the word.
Hey, that's
oh, I'm
good,
man. I am good. Just hanging out on a Tuesday.
Yeah,
weird.
Yeah.
It just feels, you know, we had rain all morning. So how's the weather out there where you are?
Oh, we're good. We're good. We need rain, but it's because it's beautiful, right? But it's so much land out here, and you know, for all the animals and stuff that they have, we have in this state, you know, we need the grass to be watered, and we didn't get as much rain as we normally. April showers and spring bring flowers, right? We didn't get April showers this year, and so we still got a little bit of flowers, a little bit of rain. But as the summer is coming and the heat is so intense already,
right.
And it's like, whoa, we're in trouble. We got to get some rain. So, yeah, we wish it was raining. But it's beautiful, and, you know, it's all good. We're blessed. We're blessed.
Good. Good, man. Good.
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't get a chance to listen to, you know, the This Is It portion, man, but I'm sure you guys killed it, as usual.
Well, we did, you know, we did talk about, you know, bitterness. It's better to be better than to be bitter. And a lot of times people don't know how to get better. They get bitter. So you know, sometimes people... they've gotten themselves in so deep that they may need some kind of you know, help to help them to recover out of it, you know, whether it's a friend or, you know, or it's a professional. It doesn't matter. What does matter is just getting out of it, right? It doesn't matter who's helping you to get out of it. It's just, you know, help me. I need to get out of it and stuff. So. And also bitterness is a slippery slope. It comes from being angry for too long, right? And then anger could just turn into bitterness, and we tend to hold things against people. And so when you're holding stuff like that, it's really unhealthy, right? And so you need to forgive, and don't forgive for them. You're forgiving for yourself. And so don't take it like, well, I'm not going to let them off the hook by forgiving them. But you're not forgiving them for them. You're forgiving them for yourself so that you can move forward and not let them have that power over you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's pretty much what we talked about. And so just want to just, you know, and so maybe if someone was listening today or still listening and they may know someone that's that way, you know, they can approach them and try to talk to them about it. But don't expect miracles, because a lot of times when people are bitter, they don't want to admit it. And so you have to really be diplomatic, you know, just, you know, very loving and just you know, try to get them to recognize. I'm having a problem myself trying to explain that to one of my friends. I believe he's very bitter. But he's not acknowledging it. So, but I'm not going to give up because I love him, and I got to keep on working.
Right.
On it until, yeah. So it's just a matter of, you know, that, you know, that's what we talked about.
Let me add something. I think health wise, I think it's important because, you know, there's a high level of stress. It can cause you stress, and you can get an ulcer. like me. You know, I've been at the moment where I've been stressed out over, you know, some of the smallest things, and, you know, worried about what other people think, and I caught an ulcer. I got an ulcer. So, you know, these things from a physiological standpoint and your health standpoint, I think it's very important to try to, you know, get well mentally, but definitely get well physically. And don't have that layer of your life to worry about what someone else feels about you, and try to have that sense of bitterness, because again, from a health standpoint, it'll mess you up. I am a sworn testimony of that.
Absolutely. And I'm grateful for you sharing that. I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And
no doubt.
Do you know, I know that you, as a young man, you know, had struggles with, you know, different thoughts and being angry and stuff and frustrated and confused and stuff. Did you ever feel that you were bitter?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think that's a human emotion. That's a human element. It's a part of the human experience. How you cope with that, it's all up to you, you know, as far as, you know, going back to the physical nature of this, high blood pressure, ulcers, things like that. There's some things that would trigger me. I guess that's the word now the kids use. Trigger me to where I'll have high blood pressure, and you know, you've got to be careful and try to find some level of peace within yourself, so you can maneuver through these. Again, it's all a part of the human experience, but at the same time, you know, what doesn't kill you make you stronger, and it to me, those things are a part of who you are in your DNA, how you cope with it. It's a testament of who you are, and I go by that. I follow that, you know, I follow that to the day I die. You know, God gives me my last breath. So, but just take heed to the things that are around you. Understand, you know, in some cases you're not alone. You're not alone. You have to have a support group. Sometimes it takes a village. And I think the beauty of that is going through that and understanding people go through the same thing or similar thing. So again, just take care of yourself at the end of the day. That's all I'm saying.
Very well said. Very well said. And so, you know, guys, like you said, it might not be you that's going through something. It may be someone that you know. You know, and, you know, so look out for them. Show them love and compassion and, you know, sometimes just talking about it, you could talk to that person about somebody else that you think might be going through something, and then they recognize, it sounds like me. You know, so you can get them to acknowledge it without, you know, making it directly to them. So you just have to figure out how you're, you know, because like I said with my friend, he's not acknowledging it. He actually denies it. So, you know, I just have to figure out another, you know, just continue to love him and talk to him and maybe what I already said is enough for him, because he's one of those thinkers. So he's going to go home and he'll text me later today and, No telling what he might say. Can you help me carry this door tomorrow? Or he may say, you know, that was interesting what we talked about. I was thinking about it, and, you know, maybe you might be right. I don't know. I mean, but that's how he is. We'll talk, and then he'll text me later. Or, you know, he's also in my Bible study group. So, you know, like in the middle of the day, he will just say something about what we talked about and how it affected him. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so... You know, do what you have to do to be a blessing to one another. That's all we have to say here. And Don, Don's always a blessing to me. So, Don, what do you want to do, homie? Are you in the system?
Man, not yet, but you know what? I can't get in. Man, can you, while we're killing time, do me a big favor, man. I think when you talked about let me ask you this, and I don't mean to get, I don't want to get too personal because we talk about these things on Friday when it comes to, you know, Solar Records and you know, going through the rigmarole on that. And again, I'm not trying to give you to tell on yourself, but did you ever have any of those moments? And again, it's not aimed at anybody particular, to where someone from the family, I guess Solar Records family, kind of just left a bad taste in your mouth, the way you coped, and you guys are friends, or were there any moments like that? Then you guys kind of hashed it out. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Because family is family, right? And family is based off of emotions, like how you feel about that person, how they make you feel. And right, so it's this wonderful feeling that you have for each other. You get real close and stuff. And then when somebody steps on your toes in there, you're supposed to deal with it like family would deal with family situations. And so we did go through that. And it was like we couldn't be angry with each other too long because we were working together. We were back in the studio. We were this and that. So, or one of the other brothers or sisters would say, yeah, get over it. Stop it. Y'all need to stop that. You know, and it was really like a family. And so, but yes, that happened quite often, because when you are around people so much, you know, do you have to, that's going to happen, because we're different people with different thoughts and different, you know, feelings. And we're going to crash, just like even my wife and I. We, boom, like, you know, she wanted to go eat someplace tonight. And I said, I don't want to go eat there. I said, but I'll go. And you can eat. You can eat. I'll just be there. Said, no, I don't want. She's like, no, I want you to eat what I, you know. I was like, okay. But, you know, it's just like that. You have different feelings. Sometimes people cross the line. And they'll say things, or they'll call you out, you know, saying things that they shouldn't say, and it hurts your feelings real bad. And, you know, and so it makes you, you know, angry, and it's how you handle those emotions. The funny thing about anger, sometimes we want to be angry. I remember wanting to be angry, like no, I don't want to talk. No. I'm pissed off. I just want to be pissed off. Right. Let me get, you know, be angry for a minute, because I don't go there too often.
I think that's fine. I think that's great, because all of our emotions, we have to have show some emotion. All of these different types of emotion we have, because to me, that describes in a I guess a 360, a multidimensional way of who we are as a person. And I think that's okay to get it out. It's okay, you know, when, you know, my wife tells me or whatever, it's okay for men to cry, because we have this thing to where we don't cry, you know, and you know, I'll lay out the waterworks. I'm telling you, I'm telling you guys all my business. I'll lay out the waterworks if I have to. But because that's okay, I just need to cry. I need to think, you know, it doesn't matter what I'm thinking about, whether it's my mother or whatever. I just need to have a moment to myself where I'm mad. I have to show this emotion. I have to show this emotion where I can cry. Because to me, that's normal. That's a normal human trait. And if you don't do it, if you don't do it to me, I feel like something's wrong with you. Coming from being ignorant, you know, I'm just going to get into ignorant mode. There's something wrong with a person who doesn't show that all of these emotions, because to me, that's the dimensions of who that person is. And it, to me, it just seems phony. So, yeah, you've got to have a moment where Wardell is sitting in his huge home. He's sitting in this huge studio cries. It's okay to cry. You know, no. It's okay to get mad. It's okay to get ticked off.
It's better than okay. It's amazing. It's wonderful.
There you go.
I stand corrected. It allows you to breathe. It allows your emotions to come from inside and go outside of you. You know, but if you hold it in, it can destroy you. You have to. That's the way we were designed. That's the way we were built. And so, mm-hmm. please don't feel like you shouldn't do what you should do. You should do, you know. And so, have you ever cried tears of joy?
Oh God!
You know how good that feels. It's amazing. Like it feels like I could watch a. I'm an animal lover, right? And so we rescue animals. And so when I'm looking at these animal shows, sometimes my emotions, I just well up. I get so happy because this mm-hmm. animal was able to survive this terrible thing where they were going to kill the animal, and then they helped somehow save the animal, and next thing you know, the animal became a champion. And I remember the tears were just running down my eyes because somebody believed that they could mm-hmm. do that for the animal. Those are tears of joy. Or when people get married, you know, and you're happy for your daughter or your niece or nephew or whoever, and you get these tears of joy. Well, when you're sad, those tears, They need to come out. They're there, and your body is set up that way for a reason. You have to allow those emotions to channel out too. You might not feel excited about it like you're excited about the other one, but it's for your body. Everything is not just, you got to do that for your body, so indirectly you will be blessed. But if you don't and you hold it in, I watched my cousin. I ended up at the hospital taking my cross off my neck. Because my little cousin, when his dad died, he didn't know how to deal with it. And he kept everything in. And when he woke up, he couldn't move. He was stuck. Hmm. He couldn't move. The ambulance came. When they came and got him, his body wouldn't bend. It wouldn't bend because of his brain. He never shared his emotions, and it just locked up. His brain locked his whole body up. And so they took him. He was like stiff like a board. And I remember going to the hospital, and I was on the road. I think we had just performed in Philadelphia, and I went to see him, and I took my cross off, and I put it on the bottom of his bed. And I don't know if he ever got it. I forgot to ask him. But I put it on the bottom of his bed because I couldn't put it around him. He had all those machines hooked up to him. And he was blessed. He got it together. And I remember we talked about, my mom. That's what happens when you hold that stuff in. You got to let it out. And that's what he did. And thank God he's gotten to the other side of it. But he stayed in trouble, though. Unfortunately, he's a bad kid. He's always in trouble.
Oh.
But he's not dead. But he's not dead. He's not dead.
Well, you know, guys, you know, hey, we can.
I don't get
we
to
can,
talk
can
to
talk
him
to
if
the,
he's in jail.
I know. Stop. We can talk to the cows come home about this, but you know what, man? We're going to go ahead and get into some music. I have the board now. I'm going to go ahead and do this blog if it's okay. We got about 33 minutes left for the show. Again, thank you so much for tuning in and hanging out with two brothers, or actually three. Shout out to Phoenix and everything. I'm going to go ahead and play a song since we're mixing it up. It's only fair to play one of my all-time favorites growing up from the Rumors album. This is Fleetwood Mac. The name of the song is called Dreams. Keep it locked right here. Solar Records Radio.
One of them things you're just going to have to get used to. But how easily we do forget the things that you said to me before you walked out. I think it went something like...
You know, you're right all the time. There is someone else. I guess I'll be packing my bags. I'm leaving, baby.
Please, baby, please, baby.
Yes, had to mix it up a little bit on Solar Records Radio. Of course, that is from 1992. That's music from Jackie McGee. Of course, It Hurts Me, Underground. Actually, Jackie McGee, of course, if you guys remember the song Make It Last Forever by Keith Sweat, Jackie McGee was the female lead on that song. Of course, she went out and did her own thing, had a song from that album called Skeezer, went well. And, of course, this was her second single from 1992. Of course, It Hurts Me, featuring Keith Sweat. Before that, I had to hook up a little Gerald Levert, the late, great Gerald Levert, my birthday buddy. Of course, we celebrate, we share the same birthday, July 13th. Of course, rest in peace to Mr. Gerald Levert, Funny, from 2002. Of course, started off the block from the album Rumors, of course. They say arguably one of the greatest albums of all time. Music from Fleetwood Mac. The name of the song is called Dreams. And I've got about another 17 minutes left of the show, man. We're over the hump, man. And it's Tuesday. What do you think, Wardell?
That was quick. That was quick. It was really, first of all, the music was awesome. You just played.
Thank you, sir.
We mixed it up, and we kind of mixed it up with talking today, more talking than music, and that's okay. That's why we call it mixing up, right? And so we are grateful for you guys, and thank you for hanging out with us on this Tuesday. And, next month I'm going to hit the road. I'm going to be on the road for 2 weeks. And then the following month I'll be on the road again for another 2 weeks. So it's going to be a Don Fleming kind of show. He's like, what are you saying? No, we'll be doing that. We'll be doing it remote, you know, the show's remote and stuff. But we do want to get, we're going to go to the West Coast, then we're going to the East Coast. And we're not going to just fly. We're going to be driving across the whole country. So first of all, keep us in your prayers, but know that, you know, we will be going into different locations, different places, and talking to different people about, you know, the lifestyles in these different places of the country, and we will be sharing their stories with you. So just so that for our friends overseas that have never been here in the United States, just to know that our country is just, it's mixed up with so many different varieties of food and people, different accents, people that live in the same country sound so different. And on the East Coast, man, we got the Philly cheesesteak, which is amazing. And then you go to California and they got tacos and burritos and all. I mean, it's a whole, it's so weird. And down here in Texas, it's all about the steak and the beef and, you know, all that stuff. And then up north, what is that? What kind of food do they like? I mean, we know Chi-Town, Chicago is well known for what
Italian beef and their hot dogs.
Okay.
And
Yeah. So it's so much to learn. So we will take you on the road with us, and we will share our experiences with you guys on the road. And this Saturday also, it's a Motown Saturday here on Solar Records Radio. See, we don't discriminate. We love good music no matter where it comes from. And so we would like to share. So we this Saturday, we had many Motown artists on this show that we've interviewed and stuff. So so we'll be this Saturday, you know, tune in, and we're going to be working out and having a good time. It's going to be all about Motown, though. So last weekend was it was disco. I was so excited. I didn't even realize how much I missed it because I'm going to tell you why I missed it. I realized I missed it because the music made me happy. It was just happy music. Everything was happy. It was joyful. It was pleasant. And, you know, all the craziness that's going on in the world right now, music is it's medication. It is so wonderful, and so that's why we're glad we have this show that we can, you know, do this with you guys, give you an escape from the stuff that's on the news and the drama that's going on in the world, and we can just kind of, like, hang out together and be blessed and with the music and stuff. So anyway,
Don, I think I'm about done. I think tomorrow we celebrate our indie jazz artists on Solaric Video. So tune in. I did have a guest, but I didn't share it with Greg because I didn't get confirmation, Greg. So it's up in the air. I'll text you later who it was supposed to be with. But it has to do with the time. We had the time one of the time members on last week, and that was Ricky Freeze from the time.
Nice.
This is another member from the time, and he happens to play the same instrument as me. And so
Jelly Bean.
So and when I was talking to Freeze, Jelly Bean jumped on the phone and I said, we need to get you on the show. He says, I'm coming, I'm ready. And so Jelly Bean's excited to come on and just talk about, you know, Jelly Bean's an amazing guitar player. Did you know that?
Yep.
Oh my gosh. And he wrote this song for Janet Jackson. You know what song I'm talking about? Black Cat.
Black Cat.
That's Jelly Bean.
Yeah, from a Rhythm Nation album. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's going to come on and share his story with us. They were just like out of town. I don't know where they were, but I sent them a message, and so waiting for him to respond. But anyway, that's what's happening here at Solar Records Radio. What's happening on your side of the world, Mr. Don Fleming?
Well, man, I am I'm trying to get a couple of new jack artists on the show, trying to get in contact with their people. So we're going to have a couple of guests. We're going to do it up this summer. I guess we're still kind of in spring now. We're still in spring. Summer is a couple of weeks away. But, yeah, we're gonna do it pretty big, man, and bring the guests on and hang out, and especially on my show on Thursdays and Monday nights. So make sure you guys tune in. But, yeah, I am looking forward to having a couple of good artists. I don't want to let the cat out the bag just yet, but I'm looking forward to it. And you guys will enjoy it. You won't be disappointed.
All right. Well, so hey, are you gonna finish entertaining us with your good music, or do you want me to I have one song I wanna play, but it's a slow song and it's short.
Well, you know what? I was gonna close out with either some Kirk Harrison or some BB&Q band, but it's up to you.
No, I can wait to Throwback Thursday. I can wait to Throwback Thursday.
Because you had the BB&Q band on a little while back, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We did an interview.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. See, I love that, man. I love that. So, but anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We're gonna go ahead and close out music from the late great Curtis Harrison. Of course, this is called I Want You All Tonight from 1983. You guys stay safe. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow. Indie Jazz Wednesday from 3 to 5 p.m. Wardell, Don Fleming, we are out, guys. See you later, Wardell.
Later, Gator. See you, Greg. Thank you.
I want you all tonight, make it right. take.